Welcome to the July 11th virtual service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. Today's service is led by Worship Associate Victoria Taylor. The theme of the service is Looking for Shark Teeth.
Welcome. And good morning to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the New River Valley. It's me again, Victoria Taylor, and I hope you all enjoyed your holiday week. Our settled minister, the Reverend Pam Phillips, is on vacation this month. Today, our homily will be offered by Viola Abbott, who is the minister at the Coastal Virginia Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Virginia Beach. I think you will all enjoy her words. Reverend Abbott lives at the beach and will be talking about spending time at the shore. Recently, while I was picking blueberries locally, I felt that sort of peace and connection which she's talking about in her homily. So that is why our slide backgrounds today are of a blueberry bush, our little bit of bliss found locally in the New River Valley. Most of us today are worshiping in the New River Valley, which is originally the home of the Tutelo and Monacan peoples. But due to the miracle of cyber connection, some of you are further away. Please use the chat function to share your name and where you're worshiping from this morning. If you are with us for the first time, welcome. Please fill out a virtual visitor's card and the link in the chat, and we'll be happy to keep in touch with you. You are also invited, as I said earlier, to stick around after the service to meet some of our congregants. There are a number of UUC groups that meet virtually or on the grounds throughout the week. Check out the events calendar on our website for those times and Zoom links. And thank you to all the volunteers who generously make these activities possible. Later in today's service, we will be lifting up the joys and sorrows that we might be carrying with us. If you have a joy or a sorrow you would like read aloud this morning, please follow the link in the chat to enter it. Again, as I am not in the sanctuary, we will not be lighting candles this morning. There's no structured religious education this summer for children, but our Director of Lifespan Faith Development has provided summer adventure journals for the younger members of the congregation. Please join me as you light your candle or chalice at home in blessing our gathering by these words. As we light this chalice, may it serve to give us clarity of purpose and illuminate our way as we set about doing the work of this congregation in commitment, in cooperation, and in love. Our opening words this morning are by Rebecca A. Edmonston Lang. And she writes, "Come in, come into this place which we make holy by our presence. Come in with all your vulnerabilities and strengths and fears and anxieties and loves and hopes. For here you need not hide nor pretend, nor be anything other than who you are and who you are called to be. Come into this virtual space where we can touch and be touched, to heal and be healed, to forgive and be forgiven. Come into this place where the ordinary is sanctified, the human is celebrated, and compassion is expected. Come into this place, for together we make it holy." One of the ways we do that is by our covenant. We are a covenantal creed, not a creedal. Congregation, and our covenant is that upon which we build our community. So read with me our congregational covenant. We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness, and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. We will listen to one another respectfully, assume good intentions, use the power of our words with care, express gratitude, honor our differences, help one another, and welcome all. We will communicate directly, honestly, and compassionately, When we hurt one another, we will forgive, make amends, and reconnect. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement to inspire, create, and transform, and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions. One of the ways that we are committed in the community is by sharing our half of our plate with a local community organization. Today, our half plate recipient is called STAR, and it's a project of the Blacksburg Refugee Partnership. This particular project is to help pay for the second 2 years of college for the refugees who have completed community college. This is an amazing undertaking. Some of these students have only been in the US about 4 years, and they're already doing college work. It is a remarkable community project, and we are happy to be able to support them. There are many ways to give, and those are in the announcements. You can give on an app or send a check to the church. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that in giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end. We know that there are joys and sorrows that are not shared in the chat, you know, things that we carry with us through the week. And we know that though our community has those, and we have them. So we're going to take some time now to move inward. We're going to take a pause in this service, in this day, in your week. We're going to take some time to reconnect with yourself, to think on those things you love, or think on whatever it would be useful for you to think on. We are going to take a breath and a pause. And while you are still in this quiet, mindful space, let this prayer by Elizabeth Gist wash over you. All for all of all, love of all love, peace of all peace, depth of depth. So often in the midst of all we do, as we are washing dishes, sending email, going to work, and doing all the things we do day in and day out, we can forget that our time here on this earth is both a gift and a miracle. Do not let us forget, because sooner than we think, tomorrow will come, and it might be our last tomorrow, and we will have missed the miracle. We will have emailed and worked and complained and watched TV through the miracle. We will have let the sunrises, the fresh air, the warmth of a bed, the taste of our orange juice, the first snow, and the cricket chirping slip by as we go about doing all of our so important things. We will have let our pain and struggles and our task and achievements and our accumulation of things obscure the enchantment and richness that can be life. Love of all love, peace of peace, depth of depth, let us find the holy in all that makes up our life. Let us slow down, stop doing, and learn to simply be. May we find the holy in our coffee, in the spider whose lovely eight legs carries her effortlessly over her web, in the kiss goodnight, in the hot meal, fuzzy blanket, and the chill of a dark night air. May we be seekers and makers of the holy. Amen, and blessed be. Now I would like to take a moment to introduce Reverend Abbott. Since August 2020, Reverend Viola Abbott, whose pronouns are she and hers, has been the settled minister at the Coastal Virginia Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Virginia Beach. Before that, she served as the halftime minister for two Unitarian Universalist congregations in New York State, one in Poughkeepsie and one in Westchester. Reverend Viola was a contributor to the liturgical materials for the Promise and Practice of Our Faith campaign, which was initiated in 2018. And she is currently a member of the Unitarian Universalist Ministers Association Committee on Anti-Racism, Anti-Oppression, and Multiculturalism, as well as the board of UU Wellspring, for whom she recently co-authored a spiritual deepening program for youth. She asked me to share these words from you, which are from our hymnal, remember this? Singing the Living Tradition. This is an Ute prayer called Earth Teach Me. Earth, teach me stillness as the grasses are stilled with the light. Earth, teach me suffering as old stones suffer with memory. Earth, teach me caring as parents who secure their young. Earth, teach me courage as the tree which stands all alone. Earth, teach me limitation as the ant which crawls on the ground. Earth, teach me freedom as the eagle which soars in the sky. Earth, teach me resignation as the leaves which die in the fall. Earth, teach me regeneration as the seed which rises in the spring. Earth, teach me to forget myself as melted snow forgets its life. Earth, teach me to remember kindness as dry fields weep with rain. And now, I will share with you Dr. Viola Abbott.
Unitarian Universalists can and do draw from a variety of sources for personal inspiration and as a means of achieving greater insight. But we also enhance our religious and spiritual selves through experience. The first source of Unitarian Universalism tells us that. But the experience alone is not where our opportunity for growth lies. It is in the pause that comes after it. Things are happening to us everywhere and all the time. Right now is an experience for each and every one of us. But unless we are intentional about it, I'm not sure how much of what we encounter we think of as experiences which can give us greater insight. Our lives are busy. They are sometimes overwhelming. We work, we volunteer, we take care of our children, we visit our parents, and sometimes we take care of them too. We go grocery shopping, and we often do all of this without taking the time to really think about where we are, or where we have been, or what has happened to us. There is great power in the pause, taking the time to pause to actually think about these things can help us to think of better ways to do them. Or they may help us to decide to stop doing some of them altogether. But the pause can speak to us in other ways. It may give us greater insight into some other aspect of our being. It could impact on how we are in the world, even after doing simple things. Pauses can help us to find the infinite within the finite. Mm-hmm. I attended a workshop where we discussed the importance of pausing to demonstrate to the participants how even the mundane can have a profound effect when you are fully engaged in the moment and take the time to think about it afterward. We were each given a raisin and asked to chew it 60 times before swallowing. One raisin, 60 times. And then we paused and shared our thoughts about the experience. All I will say is, wow. And I invite you to try it yourselves. But where can pausing and reflection take place? They can happen anywhere. More often than not, we assign our reflective times to special places. Because we are so busy, we carve the time out. Perhaps it happens at church, a dedicated meditative space at home, or somewhere in nature. Our seventh principle calls us to affirm and promote respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. So it makes sense that being in nature is special and restorative for many of us. I can tell you that it is for me, and that is where many of my pauses take place. While I generally enjoy being in the outdoors, being in or near the water holds a special place in my heart. I think it may be because I grew up along the banks of the Hudson River in New York, or maybe it's because I'm a Virgo, and that's an earth sign, and the water nourishes the earth. Although I didn't swim in it until I was almost 20, the ocean has always had great allure for me. And when I came to know it, I found that the warm sand, the sound of the surf, the feel of the water against my skin, and the sound of the waves crashing were transformative for me. The ocean. It is beautiful because of the way it looks on a cloudless day and because of the wonderful, soothing white noise it makes. It is delightful because of the shells, driftwood, smooth stones, and ancient glass it brings up. It is terrifying because the very same waves that can calm you can carry you away, or maybe even hide something threatening. Many years ago, I took a trip to Venice, Florida. And I decided to spend some time at a place there called Casperson Beach. Casperson Beach is a large park which includes not only a beach, but a sanctuary containing marshes, mangroves, tidal flats with trails running throughout. Without looking very hard, you can find a variety of plant and animal wildlife. Additionally, because of the nature of the tide there, Casperson is known for being an excellent place to shell and to find shark teeth. When I got there, I walked south along the shoreline for about a mile or so. I found some shells, which were large and easy to spot, but I simply could not find any shark teeth. It was clear to me that other people were finding them, though. They were oohing and eyeing and dropping shark teeth into pockets and sand buckets, but I was having no luck. I decided to turn around and start walking back the way I came. And then I ran into Don. Don was an elderly gentleman. He was standing on the beach where the waves reached as far onto the sand as they could before returning to the sea. The water was swirling around his feet. Aside from his swimming trunks, he wore only a baseball cap and a pair of sunglasses as protection from the blazing sun. He had his back to the advancing and retreating water and was looking at something that he was holding in his open palm. He must have seen me walking by, looking down at the sand. He held out his hand and called to me. "See," he said. I looked at the thing in his hand, a misshapen black triangle, slightly smaller in size than a guitar pick. "I found one," he said to me, and I looked closer. "It's a shark tooth," he said. "Take it. I have plenty. I come here all the time." He extended his hand even further toward me, and I picked up the tooth. It didn't look like what I was expecting a shark tooth to look like at all. And that leads me to the first of many things I learned spending time with Don that day as we stood in the waves and he helped me look for shark teeth. Most of us envision shark teeth as white, but the shark teeth at this beach are prehistoric. They have been forged under the water for ages, for millennia, turning them into fossils. Because of the sediment where these particular teeth come from, when they finally wash ashore, they're black. As soon as I learned what they look like, I saw them all around me in the sand. And then I paused. If you take the time to really figure out and know what you are looking for, you will know when you find it, and you may not have to look very far for it at all. The best way to look for shark teeth is to stand in the sand with your back to the water. And you need to position yourself in the sand so that just the right amount of water flows past you as the waves advance and retreat on the shore. Some shark teeth are deposited in the sand after a wave brings them in, but many remain in the water, swirling around on their return to the sea. Of course, we could have hunted around on the sand to pick up the shark teeth left there. And in fact, many people were doing just that. But what Don did was demonstrate how much easier it was to look for the teeth in the retreating waves and pick them up as they came to us. And then I paused. Where you choose to be can make all the difference in the ease with which you achieve your goal. When looking for shark teeth, you need just the right amount of sunlight. When you think of a great day at the beach, you think of the sun being out, but too much sun can be just as bad for your search as no sun at all when you are trying to collect shark teeth as they wash ashore. On a sunny day, which this was, the sun can be blinding. It reflects off of the top of the water, making it difficult to see what lies beneath the surface. Don showed me how, with the sun at our backs, and by looking at what was in front of us, the shadows we made on the water reduced the glare. It became easy to see the shark teeth in the water. The sun and the shadows were two extremes, and we needed just the right amount of each to see what we were looking for. And then I paused. Finding the right balance is important. As Don and I stood in the surf and looked for shark teeth, we spoke of where we were from, our careers, our families, and what brought us to Florida. He told me about his life as a lawyer in the Midwest, that he was a snowbird, that he had married 3 times, and that he wasn't going to do it again, that he loved Venice, and how much the red tide that had come some years before had worried him because it killed so many fish and washed them all ashore. He told me about the largest shark tooth he had ever found, and that he kept all of his shark teeth in jars at his house and gave many of them away to people, like the one he gave to me. He explained why the teeth washed up where they did. We talked and talked and talked and laughed a lot. And every so often, one of us would bend over and pick up a tooth or two before it sailed by. And then I paused. There can be joy in the wait. Long after Don and I parted company, I stayed long enough to watch the sun set over the Gulf. It was beautiful. The treasures that I found at the beach that day consisted not only of the shells and the handful of shark teeth that I had collected, but of the friend I made in Don. I wondered what my day would have been like if he hadn't looked up at the same time that I was looking down. And then I paused. Sometimes it can be okay to speak with strangers. What did that day hold for me in the pauses? Be clear about what you're looking for. Choose the right location. Find the right balance. Enjoy the wait and speak to people along the way. While not absolute unto themselves, these are nonetheless important things to keep in mind in any search, on any journey in life. Who would have thought that something as simple as looking for shark teeth would have demonstrated and affirmed these things for me? And one more pause. Be open to the possibilities. You may find things more valuable than that which you were seeking in the first place. There are many analogies and parallels we can draw between what goes on around us and some of the larger questions and life lessons we need to be mindful of. The travel writer Pico Iyer once said, "In a piece of music, it's the pause or the rest that gives the piece its beauty and its shape." And so it is with life. We should be thankful for every single day that is given to us. Sometimes the truth and wisdom that so many of us seek is not always found in books. There's so much around us, even the innocuous, that presents opportunities for learning and reflection. Even in days filled with sadness, we can find respite in simple things if we take the time. Try to remember to see what is really around you. Be fully engaged in every single one of your moments. Whenever you can, pause and reflect on where you are right then and there. Before you open the door, turn on the tea kettle, fill up the bird feeder, or start the next conversation. You never know what you might find when you are looking for your shark teeth. Ashe, amen, and blessed be.
Thank you for worshiping with us this morning. As I blow out my chalice, may your week be blessed until we meet again.